Hello and welcome to the delegation bubble, or Delbub, as we like to call it here at the Eurovision Song Contest. This is where all the artists and their crew hang out and get ready before they do their rehearsals and their staging and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to introduce somebody who is going to be dropping in on our wonderful podcast over the next week or so. Hi, Tina.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself to all of the lovely people who follow this podcast?
Okay, so my name is Tina Mehrafsson, Swedish music journalist for the past 10 years, and this year I will be the Swedish commentator for the Eurovision Song Contest.
Amazing!
Yay!
Honestly, you must be so excited.
I'm excited, I'm nervous. This has been a dream come true for me because I love Eurovision, I love watching it. I've been doing it since I was a kid, and now suddenly I'm here and I have to pinch myself because I'm thinking that this is a dream. And I don't want to wake up, but I do have to sort of wake up and realize it's reality.
On that note that you just mentioned, here are your quickfire questions to get you in the mood. The first Eurovision you remember watching?
Sertab. That the Sertab's performance. I'm not. I'm really bad at years, but every way that I can. I can't even talk because I'm so.
Every way that I can.
Oh, I love Sertab.
2003. That was the Eurovision song that makes you happy.
Euphoria by Loreen, of course.
It had to be.
Yes.
The Eurovision song to run or exercise to?
Oh, Austria's song this year is not that bad.
We Will Rave.
Yeah, that one should be good. I do lots of spinning, so I could do that one.
Yeah, that's got a high BPM.
Yeah, good for, I don't know what it's good for because I'm not really a... workout holic. I'm just a sit and eat chips holic.
I like that too. And finally, the Eurovision song that stirs an emotion.
Ooh, there's so many of them. I mean, Queen Celine. Always. Yeah, I believe in that one. Yeah.
We're going to find out all about you. I want to get your intel on what you've seen, heard, felt so far. Stay right there. This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast from Malmö.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's intense in the Delbub because everyone's singing, people are getting their hair done, people are mingling, talking to each other. Woo.
It's nice though, and I think people might have heard somebody singing, practicing in the background. It's always this cacophony of noise.
It sure is. And I mean, it's basically the same in the arena as well. I'm spending a lot of my time in the arena right now, and it's the same there with the rehearsals going on full on.
So what's it been like backstage for you?
So I'm running around with Edward, who works with the scripts and with the hosts, but he's also doing the commentating with me. But sort of, and I say this very humbly, he's my sidekick, but he's the real deal. So
this is Edward Afsilen.
Yes, of course. And so me and Edward are sort of, he's doing his thing and checking in with me and with the scripts that we write for the commentating for the semifinals and the final, of course. But I'm very focused on semifinal one right now. So I'm also very focused on the rehearsals to see what I can, you know, get from seeing everything and sort of just trying to get the show in my body so that I will feel free and sort of free to be able to react and improvise while we're actually doing the commentating live later.
Does this mean that you are in the actual inner circle of Eurovision? Because I'm not in the inner circle of Eurovision, but I feel if you are next to Edward and he is literally the center of Eurovision, you have the goss.
I'm not sure if it's safe to say that, but let's say yes. Anyway, yes, that's correct.
As well, I'm assuming if you're a Eurovision geek, you must have been like a kid in a sweet shop over the last couple of weeks.
Definitely. I keep, and also, you know, being my dream also being like, I want to become a music journalist. There's a lot of people in the entertainment industry in Sweden that's very much involved in this. A lot of the people working are also my colleagues from the Melodifestivalen, the Swedish qualification. So it's both that I'm sort of starstruck by everyone, and also it's a very much like a homecoming, me meeting all of my old colleagues. So it's really, really fun.
The rehearsals so far have been incredible. Watching these people, what they've been working on for the last few months. Me and you were sat earlier, we were watching Bambi Thug do their thing for Doomsday Blue. I mean, that performance is like, it's like theatre, isn't it?
It's definitely like theatre. Me also being a musical fan, I love the theatricality of it, and it's done very well.
Circles are everywhere this year.
Circles, lots of revealing outfits, the dancers having masks, not revealing their faces. That's also a trend, yeah.
There is, yeah, and pointy shoulders. Oh, yeah. Joost Klein has pointy shoulders. Luna from Poland has pointy shoulders. Bessa from Albania has pointy shoulders.
You could sort of, I think it goes back to being a Gaga reference thing, I think. It's very much, I think, lots of these, maybe it's a generational thing that lots of these people look up to Lady Gaga and her theatricality. Then I also feel there's lots of Kärjä influences as well. Finland's Kärjä from last year with the sleeves and the playfulness and colours.
Can you imagine, I think I've said this on the podcast before, Bad Romance on the Eurovision stage, clear winner.
Clear winner. Good Lord, yes.
No, I agree with you. There's definitely a Gaga influence here. And the circles I mentioned, like Nutsa has a circle behind her. Dons from Latvia is in a circle. It's kind of, at this stage when all the Eurovision geeks are out on force, we like seeing these little trends at the beginning. And it feels like we've got this little window into what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, that's sort of also what's fun about being a Eurovision fan, seeing, noticing all the details, noticing all the things, being sort of historically, feel the history of everything as well, repeating itself and feeling that you've seen it. Yeah, that's at least what I think is fun and what my friends and I talk about when we watch Eurovision, and before I was working with it, that is.
Where were you when Loreen won with Tattoo?
I think I was watching at home. No. The first time Loreen won, I was living in London. Yeah, I was watching at home alone. I was watching and I felt very homesick. No, but with Tattoo, it was with friends at home, yeah.
What a moment. I mean, 7-time winners now. Sweden just, oh, they just know how to do this.
Sure. I'm trying to stay humble over here, but yes, we do.
No, you. This is where you're allowed to not be humble, because we all bow down to the Swedes.
I mean, Ireland done it seven times as well, but not lately. It's very nice because we're very proud of, I feel as a music journalist, I'm very proud of the music industry in Sweden and the stars that we have and the artists that we have, because they're doing very well internationally, not only when it comes to Eurovision contest, the Eurovision Song Contest, but like generally when it comes to the global music scene, the Swedes are very, very good.
Which is ironic, because this year Sweden is represented by two Norwegians who we love. But there is somebody who has Swedish heritage performing. Do you know who it is?
Swedish heritage performing. Who could that be?
Somebody's dad is Swedish.
Oh, I've read this, but I can't remember.
Bambi.
That's true. That is true.
You with Edward backstage, how much has this team been putting into this show this year?
Oh, so much. So much. I actually texted Edward asking him, like, are you getting enough sleep? Are you sleeping at all? Because I don't think he is. But he's always energetic, happy, very focused. And everyone in the team is that way. They are working their behinds off, let's say. So they're very, 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 very focused, very, very excited. Everything's looking and going quite well, I believe.
He's been reunited with his queen, hasn't he? Petra Mede.
Oh, yes. And I met Petra yesterday, and she also feels calm, focused, excited. I'm in awe of her, because I would have been so nervous But I only felt like a very positive, focused energy from her yesterday when I saw her.
But this is her third time, so she knows what she's doing.
Sure, but it's a special year, and not, I mean, any time, any competition, any year is not, it differs from the other one. I mean, it's another show, there's another different contestant, so anything could happen any year. At least that's how, but maybe that's, I mean, that speaks about more about me and what sort of neurotic I am, and not about Petra being the queen that she is.
It is, you just mentioned it there, a special year. It's 50 years since ABBA won with Waterloo. What is your, I'm going to ask lots of Swedish people this, what is your ABBA karaoke go-to?
Lay All Your Love on Me.
I love that song.
Me too.
Don't go wasting your emotions.
Every time I take a shower, it's my banger.
Every single time.
Yes. Shower karaoke, let's go.
I love that you said a song that's not just Waterloo or Dancing Queen.
No, Lay All Your Love on Me, it's my favourite song by them.
So listen, Tina, drop in on the podcast as often as you like. We want all the goss, we want the intel. Any observations you see, write them down straight away. Remember the anecdotes. People are craving anything and everything while we're here.
I will do my absolute best.
So Dons, cheers.
Cheers.
I'm guessing you're celebrating the fact that you're here, you're finally on the Eurovision stage.
Yes.
It feels a moment that you've been building up to.
Yes, I was quite nervous before the first step on stage.
Were you?
Because, I mean, like, you don't know how it's going to be. I think that everything's going to be fine and you calm yourself down. You're still nervous a little bit. But after this first step on stage, I walked around. So now I'm cool.
I wanted to say that, you know, it's a very safe space on this podcast, you know, and I'm so glad that you're here because, you know, I feel like we have a connection at the top of our heads.
Yeah, of course. We are connecting
our minds. We're basically egg twins, you know? And it feels really nice to finally have someone on the podcast who can appreciate what life is like. I feel it's actually an amazing quality that we have. It's confidence.
Yeah.
We don't have to do much in the mornings.
No, we're ready to go straight away.
It looks good.
You have to embrace it.
Yeah, trust totally.
Me. There's two types of our ancestors. One of them went into the woods, fought with animals. The other part went fishing. And when they went fishing, they were swimming like dolphins, like under the water and catching fish with the teeth. So we come from that branch.
The smooth.
Yeah, we're branch. Smooth. You still have a beard.
Yeah, I like that. Can you grow one?
No. Yeah.
But I see on your socials, you know, you've got the egg meme,
yes.
You know, which I love.
I was just thinking, can we do that together?
Yes, we should.
So we're going to organize this. It's excellent idea.
It's boom. You are one of the biggest stars in Latvia. How much support have you had in Latvia to get you to this stage here?
I think especially for Hollow, this is the right song. Before, I'd say I was not ready. Possibilities that this stage provides for my all those insecurities at that time. I think now I can embrace every moment of it and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, on the stage, I'm going to be dead serious. But now, let's enjoy it. There's this phrase, everything happens for a reason at the right time. And I'm thrilled to tell the story of Hollow. Your vision is something that we need to cherish.
It's the best show on earth, in my opinion.
I would say that.
But I genuinely think that. Were you always a fan? Can you remember watching when you were a kid?
The first time I watched was 2001. Brainstorm from
Latvia. Oh, I go on about this song all the time.
My star would fall.
It's still one of the best Eurovision songs here of all time, in my opinion.
Yes, and I remember when I was a kid, I was watching it, and now we're friends with those guys. You know, I mean, they're really good friends, and they taught me a lot, and they're massive in Latvia. I mean, still doing big stadium shows, and for all of us, they give us an example how to create a show, how to... You know how to be on stage and that was a magical moment for Latvia as well, because on the map that was our first time, and it brings a lot of great memories. And we won once. I mean, that's also incredible. Yeah. Marianne, incredible job. At the right time, the right outfit, the right song, and the great performance. Yeah.
One thing I love about you, trivia fact for anybody that didn't know this about Dons, but you voiced Olaf, the snowman, in the Latvian version of Frozen.
Hello.
How are you, Olaf?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
How many auditions did you have to get the role of Olaf?
Oh, that's very offensive. Just one.
How was the experience voicing Olaf?
That was great. I remember that I was competing with five more actors, but Disney in LA, they approved me. So I'm happy.
And how many people get you to sing Let It Go, even though it's not your song?
No, I'm singing the other song about the summer. Do you know the song about the summer?
Yeah, but I don't know the words. Give me a line. I'm transported to the biggest cartoon of all time. That must have been amazing, though. That's a cultural moment.
The role of Olaf was all about the laughter. The 8 hours that I spent on recording the voiceover, so I laughed loud and in my tears. That was incredible. And I know in the future that there's gonna be an Olaf movie. There has to be an Olaf movie. That when he meets some other snowman, woman, whatever you call it.
Snow person,
let's say, yes. And Snow Friend.
And you're going to be there.
I hope so. But when the Disney already accepted it, I'm in. I'm locked in.
It made you feel warm and cozy, which is ironic because it's Frozen.
Yes.
You are very good at basketball.
I'm a big fan of basketball. This is my favorite game of all time.
Was there any time in your life when you could have been a basketball player instead of a singer?
Yeah, probably point guard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Point guard is like shooting threes.
Okay. Yeah. Can you tell that you're talking to basketball's number one?
Yeah, because my height probably would be, if I'd played basketball since 15 and continue to do that, probably my height would be 10 centimeters taller.
Okay.
15 centimeters taller. So I could be like a height of Steve Curry.
Yes. And
Steph Curry.
Yeah. You know what you need to do? I don't know if you've done this already. You know Marcus Martinez?
Yes. They're football players.
Yes, yes. So I think you need a basketball, football, if you're sporty, you need to do some kind of like game between the two of you to see who is actually the better sports person.
I'm very competitive.
I know. Well, and they are too.
And they are too. Like, yeah, we should do basketball then.
You should like...
Or ice hockey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're in an ice hockey nation. Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway,
yes.
So you're definitely the sporty end. You, Marcus Martinez, the sporty end of Eurovision this year, you know?
Yes.
You can make your own Olympics team.
What we call Eurovision team?
Yeah, I think it's going
to
be.
What else? Who else? Who else could be on the
team?
Who else is sporty?
I'm just. Oh,
Baby Lasagna. He's quite sporty.
Yes, he is.
He could be a goalkeeper.
Yeah,
goalkeeper.
Yeah. Baby Lasagna, and then to be honest, people like Nutza from Georgia and Sarah Benici from Malta,
yes.
Celia Capsis. Have you seen their dancing?
Yes,
they are
yes,
like
yes,
fit.
Yes.
So
yes.
There could be some kind of like
yes,
dance
attackers.
Break team.
Oh yeah. So what else? So we're building
the Eurovision sports team right
yes.
now.
I think the commentator for it could be you and Nemo.
Yes. Amazing.
Yes.
Okay, this is an idea and there's still time. So
yes,
we've got it.
We still have time, yeah.
And finally, your idol is Freddie Mercury,
of
isn't
course,
it?
Of course, yes.
And I've seen you at the pre-parties doing your little like Freddie flip. At the end,
yeah, but I couldn't help myself. I was in Madrid, and okay. So to be totally honest, Hollow is a serious song, and I'm telling my story, and this is not a pleasant confession to make, but
very personal.
It's personal, but there's this moment in Madrid, the pre-party, the crowd is on fire. I mean, and what do I do? So I finished the song, and it just came out naturally. So I started doing that, and I couldn't stop. So I did it in Barcelona, I did it in London, yep. Amsterdam, in Stockholm. So
it's good. It's your thing.
I mean, now it is. Yeah, but I do love Freddie, and if it not for Freddie, I probably wouldn't be a musician or a songwriter. He inspired me. Actually, I remember that my first performance was in my school. And there was this audience of 150, 200 people. Most of them were my school members. I was singing. I was playing bass. First song was Nothing Else Matters by Metallica.
Nice.
And the second was second song was Love of My Life of Freddie. And I sang the song next to piano. I remembered the reaction. And when I remembered the reaction and they embraced me, I needed to repeat it 5 times. And they were on feet and they were clapping. And I said to myself, this is the thing that I want to do.
You wanted to be a singer there and then?
And I was 16 years old. That was the moment when I chose to do the singing.
And then all the awards later, and you're now on the Eurovision stage. Look!
Wow!
There we go.
Amazing.
The most important question of the day, going back to the egg theme, how do you like your eggs in the morning?
Poached, please.
Me too! Oh, yes!
And
it's hard to do them poached. I
no, you go to Ivy or whatever. Where'd you go in London to get them?
To my kitchen.
Oh, okay. I, to be totally honest, I can't do them.
They're hard, but they're the best way of doing an egg.
Yes.
Hands down. Top tier egg cooking.
Eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
Eggs Benedict with salmon.
I mean, I've not had lunch yet.
Royal Benedict?
Eggs Royale.
Eggs Royale.
There we go.
That's with salmon.
That's with salmon. And eggs Florentine, I think, for spinach as well. But anyway, I'm glad that we're agreed that poached eggs...
are the best one.
Are the best eggs.
Yes. And if you do not agree with us, go outside...
and have a word with yourself.
Yes.
Dunst, thank you for coming on the podcast.
All right,
great.
My pleasure.
To be
my
here.
Pleasure. Yes.
And go and sing Hollow out loud and go and show everyone what you're about.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. See you around.
Hello to Norway's representatives at Eurovision. It is Gotte, or rather, it is Gunhild, the singer, and Magnus, one of the guitarists from Gotte. How are you both feeling? How's it going? How's your Eurovision experience?
We just had the sound check of our lives.
Yes.
I mean, it's so professional. People are on a top level. So we've been very good taken care of, and the stage was something else.
Eurovision is life at this stage.
It is.
You know, it's in your blood.
We've been immersed into this ecosystem now, and this is the pinnacle, right? This is what we're working. Everyone is like
this
building
is
up
when
tension.
It matters.
Yeah,
you know?
Because there's no galaxy vision after this, right? It's Eurovision.
Yeah, yeah. Galaxy vision.
Yeah.
The sequel.
Yeah. So this is where it. This is what it all amounts to.
Magnus, during the performance, you throw your guitar so high in the air and you catch it, right? And
yeah.
I watched it and I was like, did that just happen? And then I watched it for the second time you did it. And I was all eyes were on you. Is he going to catch it? Is he going to catch it? We like some jeopardy and risk in a performance.
Yes, yeah, it's a real jeopardy. It is. I mean, when we play gigs in Norway, I have to sign this form that the promoter or arranger is not taking any responsibility for damages being done to harm to body or things. So,
or flying guitars.
Or flying guitars. So it is a part of our act that there should be a sense of danger or something that is you can't. This is not safe. But then again, we have. Played so many shows, I've thrown so many guitars. So for me, it's not that. It feels just like a natural part of the performance. Thrown, yes.
We love to see, like I said, we love a bit of Jeopardy. Nemo in the code, it's exciting
it's
to watch.
It's exciting, it gauges the audience,
yes.
Right? It's not engaging them if you see something, just someone sitting on a chair, it's not engaging.
Yeah,
you have
yeah,
to
yeah.
see someone taking a risk. And Gunnel is taking a big risk as well, spinning around and singing the way she does.
And your vocal is just incredible. Incredible.
Thank yeah. you
Like
so
for
much.
3 minutes, where does that come from?
Not from me. It's just coming through me.
But when did you first realize that you could sing like that in your life?
I've never got that question before. I have a memory of when it happened, actually. I think I was 15 years old. But of course, it has developed since then. But that was, yeah.
We started this band when she was 15.
Yeah.
And I was 17. So, yeah.
Before I before Gotte started, I didn't use that strong sound.
No.
So that just came because you guys were like, you couldn't hear me in the
rehearsal room.
So they were like...
And we were very loud.
Yeah, they were very loud and they tried to turn me up, but then you got this feedback because... Yeah. Yeah. So they was like, can you please sing louder? And then I just...
So,
and then some, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it came out.
And I think it started in a way with a kind of screaming, just yelling, and then it turned out more like singing.
As many original expressions and inventions in the world, it started out of like a necessity. We had to solve a problem. Yeah. You had to hear yourself, and we had to hear you. Thus, you developed that style of singing, sort of.
Yeah, because when you were teach to sing, you normally, I think, very especially women, they don't get the encouragement to use their voice in that way. It's you always put it like very light and like in this more that's beautiful and that's like, oh, that's so cute and blah blah blah. Yeah. So I can do that, of course, but I also it's when you're standing some place and you want to call your children back home, and you just really have to reach far. You don't think about how is it sounding now. It's like you just use the strongest voice you got, and so it's not much more complicated than that, actually.
I'm going to do a very quick quick fire. This is Norwegian quick fire for
cool.
you, okay?
Cool.
Oslo or Bergen?
Oh.
Oslo.
Yeah. No, Bergen is very nice, but it's raining and it's difficult to get there.
Bobby Socks or Secret Garden?
Secret Garden.
Secret Bobby Garden. I hope Elisabeth or Hanne doesn't listen to this. So sorry, we have to say Secret Garden. Do they have the same instrument?
Famous Norwegian duo winning Eurovisions.
Yeah.
Raving or knitting?
Maybe raving?
Raving.
Oh, raving.
Salted licorice or sweet licorice?
Salt.
Salted.
Ugh. Ugh. My worst. Whenever I go to any of the Scandi countries, everything has licorice in. And I'm like,
it's an acquired taste.
I'm like, I open the bag of sweets and I'm like, oh, these are really nice. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's licorice.
I love licorice.
Is it just something that is it, like, you know, you're grown to love?
It is in our DNA, I think.
Yeah. Very acquired taste.
Open you up and your licorice inside. It runs through all the countries. Midnight Sun or the Depths of Winter?
Depths of Winter.
Depths of Winter.
Why?
It's just too much light, and you could never like where you don't. Where is it night or is it day? Or is it, no. My husband is from very far up north.
Oh, near the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
I think it's.
It's exaggerated.
It's exaggerated how beautiful the midnight sun is,
because if you experience it over time, you go a bit loo-hoo, because you never get that deep sleep, sort of, right? You have to
so basically me as a tourist looking at Instagram going, oh, look how beautiful it is at the top of the Arctic Circle in Norway, I want to go, but in reality
it's
no
definitely beautiful up there. The nature is like the most fantastic nature you could have, but
you need your sleep.
Yeah.
This is a very important question. Would you rather fight one huge giant or 100 tiny trolls?
One huge giant.
Yeah. You could just climb up like his feet. You can get up to the ears, start biting there, maybe get some punches in the eye or something. You can work with that. But like 100 small ones?
It needs good thought behind it. I like it.
Yeah.
I know that you have a very good friend who has experience of the Eurovision Song Contest, because Gunhild, you are very good friends with Margaret Berger.
Yes.
aren't you?
Yes.
Have you spoken to her about this experience, and has she given you any advice?
Yes, of course. Yeah. What did she say? The one thing she said was not give too much attention to Norway's newspapers.
Focus on yourself.
Yeah.
Because they are not going to vote for us.
Oh yeah, of course. Yes, you have to appeal to everybody.
Like, yeah. Because you're going to give so much interviews and like so just prioritize.
And she actually said before the final, she got the question. Do you have any, you as a one being in the Eurovision before, do you have any advice for Gotte? And she said, I'm not giving them any advice. They're too good. I like them too much.
There was also one thing she said, because she knows me very well. So I love to get dressed and I love to wear makeup, but I also really don't care, if you know. So one advice she said gave me was, now you have to think that the second you go out of the door, you have to be representable. Yeah. Yes.
Camera ready.
There are cameras everywhere. Yeah. So just do a little more effort than you normally do.
Before you leave your hotel room, it's like one last look in the mirror. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
ready. More effort than I normally do. Yeah.
I can tell she's a good friend, because you have to be a good friend to tell somebody that. You know, that's honest.
Yeah, we are totally really honest.
Also, obviously, she tried to get here this year as well, but yeah. I'm guessing she's very happy for you guys.
Yeah, but she is. She was like, now is your turn.
Yeah.
She came on the podcast last year because we talked about 10 years of I Feed You My Love. And I said to her, and I think people listening to this would agree, it's still, that song still sounds as fresh today as it did in 2013. And she was in Malmö as well.
She was.
That song is amazing. I think it's weird that it didn't win.
Well, we never know. You can never predict the strings of Eurovision. But she played it in the Madrid pre-party to the crowd, and it still just felt like, you know, it's a Norwegian classic, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you are immersing yourselves in the Eurovision world. Have fun with it. And don't get too dizzy on the circle.
No,
we'll let Ollie get too dizzy.
boom, boom. We know. You've been doing your homework completely. Have you got, when you're going around, do you focus on one point in the distance?
I have one task. And that
I have one job.
That's your job.
And that is focus on the front, on the the front of the stage. But for people here, the front could be everywhere actually, because it's across. But I have one front, and that is my job to focus there as much as I can, because I'm spinning around, so that is a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think it helps me to not get dizzy.
And Magnus, no distracting your singer by jumping around all around the stage.
I mean, the actual concept is like she's not in the middle of a storm, right? So, and in the center, there's actually tranquil and serenity. She's right there. But we are being
down
in like this tornado hurricane thing.
You do a workout during the 3 minutes, essentially.
Yeah, we do. And it's a special kind of stamina you have to build up for all of us. Gunnil in her way, but actually me and Mats, we have to, because they're so strange. So we're glad we have 2 weeks of rehearsals.
Well, enjoy it. It's great to see you. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.